Here we are then, it's the Tuesday lunchtime social debate. We have Alison Prickles Hayden in. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And we've also got one of the nicest blokes I've ever met and one of the most caring blokes about the Isle of Wight as well. We've got Lord Rees. Harry Rees is in the studio. Hello, Harry. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Ian. And good afternoon, everybody.
Can I just say, we were trying to guess your age before you came in.
Really?
Yeah, we were saying that, you know, you've got to be hammering on a bit now, haven't you?
Well, I check the obituary column every week, and I'm not there.
Are you in your 80s yet?
Yeah.
80s? Yeah. That's incredible. That really is incredible. And you've had, I mean, you've had, say, the last 20, 30 years.
40 years.
40 years in politics.
Mm-hmm.
And you've, has that been mainly on the island? All
yeah,
on the island?
All on the island.
Were you born and bred on the island?
No, I wasn't.
When did you move to the island then?
Early 75.
1975. Mm. So you've been here all that time and you've seen some changes.
Yeah, and I wrote my first paper in 1976.
Right.
And got hounded out of Venter by Venter Town Council that night.
They didn't like it then.
And now you're back in.
Yeah.
Do you live in Venter?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you've got a shop there, haven't you, as well?
Yes, I indeed.
Which we'll talk about at the shop a little bit later on.
Okay, that's fine.
There's lots to ask you. I mean, 40 years on the Isle of Wight, doing your best, and, you know, I think you've done some great things in the past, and I know whatever people say about Harry Rees, they will say what a bloke that he's a guy that puts the island first. He cares
every time
about the island.
And the people.
Which is great to hear. It really is. So, yeah, I mean, we can learn a lot from you. I mean, we're just asking a question. At the moment, there's this thing going on with Andrew Turner, and people are moaning and groaning that he didn't turn up to some tweet-a-thon that was happening yesterday. And we thought to ourselves, well, hang on a minute, he's still in office. He's a little bit busy until this week. And then it's, what is it? Is it dissolved? Parliament is
Monday.
Dissolved?
Monday.
It's next Monday. And then all the fun starts.
Yeah, then he just becomes an ordinary citizen like you and me.
Yeah?
Yeah, one would say almost a human being again.
Only for 6 weeks, probably.
Yes.
By the sound of it.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, in that 6 weeks, he can then join the campaign. So those people that are sort of giving him a hard time at the moment, saying, oh, you didn't turn up to that last night, it's quite obvious the reasons why he didn't turn up. He didn't turn up because he's still representing us as an MP.
Still Correct. Working.
Now, there's a question we were going to ask you, the legality, the technicality of certain things. Do you remember what it was?
Just about, you stood as an independent candidate, didn't you, Harry? How long ago was that?
Oh, way back in the 80s.
Yeah. Way back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Did you find any problems standing as an independent because you weren't represented by a political party?
Not really. I was very sincere. As Charlotte Hoffman said, he's on a hide into nothing, but he's a good lad. My 500 deposit went out of the window, but I stood on principle.
Right.
And thoroughly enjoyed it.
Okay. And were things harder for you, do you think, as an independent, because you never had the backup of a political group?
Never thought about it, just got on and did the job.
Yeah.
It's probably slightly different then as well. What year did you say you stood?
Independent, in the 80s, when Peter Brown was elected.
Okay, so that would have been, yeah, that would have been 90s, wasn't it?
No, I think it's nearer to the 80s, I think.
Right, okay. So, I mean, things would have been different, and media's changed an awful lot. It plays a major part in what's going on.
Oh, I think, you know, in local, national politics, international, it's an ever-changing scene, quite frankly, and you're quite right.
Do you think that, it was probably better back then, or do you think the media go too far now? Are they helpful? Do they mean well but tread on everybody's feelings and put the wrong facts out there, or was it better back then?
Well, I think with the media, they will always look for the sensationalism, etc., and play on that. It's like the hospital, isn't it? You know, you have thousands of operations and consultations taking place, but it's the one that goes sour that always makes headlines.
Yeah, true. I remember when you stood, one of my ex-colleagues, Lucy Morgan, I think her name was.
Indeed.
She actually said she went along to Hustings and you were there, and she said she was actually going to vote for you because you had fire in your belly and the others didn't.
Oh, that was very nice of her, because I've also got a ticket for the Hustings at Newport.
You've got a ticket?
Yeah, and I've also put a question in whether they'll ask it as another matter.
What's that? Do you want to...
I don't mind quoting it.
Yeah.
What I've said is, good evening, everybody, chairman, candidates. What makes you consider you are the best person to represent the Isle of Wight? And if elected, what would your priorities be for the island and its residents?
Okay, that to me is the perfect question, isn't it? From the guy that would know what you've actually got to do to actually represent the island. How difficult a job is it?
It's an extremely difficult job. It's very time-consuming, even at local authority level. It was worked out that latterly I was putting in nearly 70 hours a week.
Crikey.
So that will give you some idea.
Yeah. Never actually been an MP, but you've been a councillor for X amount of years and a town councillor as
well. I have indeed, yeah.
So you would have quite a lot of knowledge of how... And I would imagine, have you worked with Andrew alongside him on certain things?
I have indeed. We don't always agree, let's be truthful, but then we don't live in a perfect world.
No.
But as far as Andrew is concerned, he's had a lot of stick from people, as you well know. I'm not here to throw anything at anybody. If he thinks he's fit enough to stand, that's down to him. It's up to the electorate to decide, isn't it?
Sure, it is. Do you feel as though that might play a part? Because very obviously in recent months he's had quite a difficult time. People have been quite nasty. And do you think that might have the desired effect or the undesired effect of people thinking, hang on a minute, I feel sorry for this guy, he's had a tough old time, I'm going to vote for him?
I think the answer therein is quite a simple one. I hope people will apply rationale and look at the island's problems and who's best suited to represent us in Parliament on those issues.
Okay. Who, in your opinion, who is out of those six that are currently? Because when is it? Let's just clear up something before you answer that question. There's six at the moment. And there could be any number of people throwing their hat into the arena. When is the cut-off point?
30th of March, isn't it?
Right.
And then they're all declared on the 1st of April.
That's right.
And that's when the major campaigning starts.
So we're only a few
days away. So we could end up
away.
With 12, we could end up with 30, we could just stay with the six we've got. Okay. Nobody will know until that list.
Okay, so we're only about a week away. That's a week away.
I would think the die's cast on the six you've just mentioned, then, that I can't see any more people throwing their hats in the ring.
Okay, so out of those six, who do you think is best in the best position to represent the Isle of Wight?
I think that's a $64,000 question. I think I'm going to...
You're not getting paid for it.
No, not that much.
No, I know. I think, you know, it would be unfair because I've been so involved with a number of them. It's up for the electorate to make their mind up.
Okay, with all due respect to that, though, I respect you as a person, and I think you're a super intelligent bloke when it comes down to the Isle of Wight and what it needs, and I think sometimes people like yourself ought to explain, maybe to people that are unsure who to vote for, but by asking the question, you would know who is, and you know, without putting words in your mouth, in your heart, in your head, you know who the best person to do the job is.
Yes, I have a choice, like anyone else.
Sure.
And at the moment, I support the independent candidate.
Which is Ian Stevens.
Yes.
Now, I'm kind of with you there as well. I think, and I've said this before, and I've got a bit of a poking for it, but I look at, take the personality and the politics out of it, and look at who is the best person for the job. And I think, at this moment in time, my belief, from what I'm hearing, he is the best person for the job. He's well connected with people that can assist with any status and so on and so forth. And I think there are other people too that are probably connected as well. But I just think he is probably the one man that I look at and think, yeah, he's got our interests at heart. He's island born and bred. I think he's a good, decent chap. And I'm not having a go at the others, because I think that David Goodall's got some good qualities. I think that, Andrew Turner has... You know, again, got some good qualities. It's not been all bad in the last X amount of years. He has done some good things, and one of the things that he did do after the last local election was team up with a team of independents and go to London and try and get area assisted status.
I was there with that.
I know. That's why I brought it up. So it's not a case. I think if we take the personalities out of it and take the politics out of it, and just look at it as though you're employing somebody for a job, I think yes, there are other people that are, you know, biting at the heels. I'm not quite sure about Ian McKee and where he stands, but you know there are other good qualities as well. Vix Louthien has thrown her hat into the arena. She's making some good noises. I think naively she's making some wrong noises as well. And I think they've all got good qualities. And I think it will be my own gut feeling is I think Andrew Turner will get in. That's my own gut feeling. But it doesn't stop me thinking that someone else is better for the job.
I think you've got to look at the track record. I made a statement early when I first came in. If Andrew thinks he is fit and well enough to do it, then the electorate must decide.
I think it would be really nice to have a mix of all six of them. I'm sure they've all got fantastic qualities that if it was all put together would make what's best for the island, and I think that's where we've made the mistake. We have been voting on politics rather than what we need for the island.
I think the problem is, you see, that, and I speak with some authority on this, successive governments do not recognise that we're an island.
No.
That's point one. I've taken them to a judicial review, that was the previous Labour government, took them to the European Ombudsman, and might finish up taking up his offer to take a petition to the European Parliament, because without doubt, Ian, I mean, the island's been shafted by the political system for many, many years, not just now. Now, I've got to be fair to Andrew. Barry Field, I worked extremely close with him when Maggie Thatcher was Prime Minister. I used to go meet him once a month, and he kept me well posted. But even he could not crack the nut about the island status. And until we do crack that, I don't care who's running Isle of Wight Council or the island's hospital services, etc. They're behind an eight ball before they start. Look at the hospital. Total integration now, or in the process, with the Isle of Wight Council. You know, health to care. Excellent. They're already doing it in Manchester. It has got a lot of good people, as you've said, on all sides, but there's one thing lacking: the correct amount of funding to make it work.
Yeah, the money to make it work.
Yeah,
no, and that's always been the case, Ian. And until we crack that, we're not going anywhere.
So are you saying that even if we had, just say for instance, a Conservative government and a Conservative MP, which we've had before, even if we've got that in place, it ain't necessarily going to mean that we get the correct funding?
I'm afraid you're spot on, because when Barry Field was there, Lord Sainsbury was the minister responsible. I had dealings with him, and we were actually put forward what was known as Objective 2. Morris, if you remember, Morris Barton, the former leader of the council, with big celebrations, and I was very quiet in the corner, and he said, "What's wrong with you, you miserable old sod?" And I turned around to him and I said, "We'll get pruned off, because the population count had to be a certain amount for the country, and it was well in excess of that." And true to its word, we were pruned off, and we got intermediate assisted area status at that time, not full, where we warranted it. I mean, if I turn round to you and tell you that, you know, Europe is split into regions, everyone knows that. I'm not going to get technical because it wouldn't suit people. I'll just try and put it in layman terms. There are 270 what they call nuts two levels. If we could achieve that status, we would be in the bottom 70 of the whole 27 member states. That is the plight of the Isle of Wight in its financial situation.
Which it puts it in the context, doesn't it? It really does. I mean, we've tried. I mean, we were part of a team that went into London in 2001.
That's right.
20,000 signatures, and we still didn't get anything. We even had a day with a government minister who was more interested in talking about a bridge rather than independent status. And I mean, that's all we've ever wanted for a long time.
Well, I think if you look at the latest assisted area status, which you referred to earlier, both the Solent Local Economic Partnership and the government could have used what we call special derogation. I won't go into the detail of it, other than say that where a would-be investor on the Isle of Wight can look forward to possibly a 20% support, it would have been 60%. Right. As it is now, Portsmouth, Southampton, quite rightly, in national terms, we're a micro unit. But I've explained to the LEP that in what they are doing, they're marginalising the Isle of Wight even more day by day and making our situation even more precarious.
So as, I mean, you know, I know you don't want to get personal, but over the last X amount of years since Andrew's been in and other people in the past, let's not just point the finger at Andrew, have they done enough to try and break this nut?
In my opinion, no.
What do they do? What can they do?
An example, during the consultation process on the assisted area, I asked Andrew if he would raise questions in the House while the consultation was on. He declined to do that, stating it wasn't the job of the government, it was the job of the LEP. So I went back to the LEP, and the LEP turned around to me and said, if you've got any question about procedures, Councillor Rees, take it up with the government.
Right.
I'll rest my case.
Just explain what the LEP is.
A Local Economic Partnership.
Right.
These were set up, if you remember, we used to have the Regional Development Agencies, CEDA. I think everyone remembers CEDA, who actually were based on the island. Now, at that time, I managed to get us prioritised as a special policy area, the whole of the island. Now, it's only 29 wards that are included.
Right.
We're having the same trouble with the rural programme. You know, urban to rural. I'm questioning the validity of DEFRA. That's the Department of Food and God knows what, who are responsible for this. They want to, as I say, split out the rural to urban. I've questioned the legal validity of that, because that is coming up for discussions in the next review within Europe and with our Office of National Statistics when such a measure could be introduced. At the moment, it has got no standing in law.
Okay, which obviously there's a lot of work to be done there. Then.
Still working on it.
Yeah. Let me just... I went over to the mainland at the weekend.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to, you know, political stuff and, you know, small print and all that, you're an expert, okay? This is just my bog standard opinion of how I think the Isle of Wight is, and we've got some wonderful qualities. Don't get me wrong, this isn't going to be a moan and a groan about the Isle of Wight, because it's not. We have some wonderful things here. We have some of the best things that you could ever see on this island, but we don't shout about.
And we've got centres of excellence as well, composites, etc., marine.
Absolutely, there's a lot to be positive about. But we went over to Southampton. It was the wife's birthday, okay? And we went over to, is it West Quay?
Yeah.
We went over there, and it's a different world over there.
Of course.
It's the shops are modern, up to date. There's things that you wouldn't be able to get on the mainland. The service on the whole was far superior. Yes, it costs more. And, you know, we were just talking, my wife and I were just talking, why is it like this and it's so different on the island? And it just suddenly dawned on you that on the island, we're kind of struggling. Our wages are not as big as those people that probably live in Southampton. And it's more necessity. You've got your shops that are more necessity rather than... I went into this wonderful shop, Harry, and it was a men's shop with all these men things. And it was a wonderful shop. It had these funny little speakers. You just put the phone on the speaker, it picks up the noise. It had all these wonderful clocks. And they were all many, many, many gadgets. And it was a brilliant, brilliant shop. And I was thinking, you'd never get this on the Isle of Wight because it's necessity. Most of the shops that are still open, you know, they're all necessity. Thank God for pound shops. Thank God for pound stretchers. I very much doubt that you see many of them in Southampton High Street, because they're all good quality shops. Now, I'm not having a go at those people that are running shops, because I think, you know, on the island, because I think we're struggling. You've got one arm up behind your back. maybe the amount of money that you have to pay to have a shop in the high street is way too much. You've got to make way too much before you actually can afford to pay those bills and so on and so forth. And I look at it and think, it is, it's necessity. We're penalised on the island in so many ways. If it was cheaper to be a shopkeeper, why shouldn't it be cheaper to be a shopkeeper? You know, but I very much doubt that it is. But you just take that trip to West Keys. Everything, you go in and you go, wow, we've got nothing like this on the island. Absolutely nothing. I don't know why we haven't. Maybe it's people that are in the planning department that don't want it and they protect themselves. I don't know. But I think the majority of it is it's necessity. There's not the money to go around. Very recently, in the last 12 months, there was a report that the wages on the island was so incredibly low compared to the southeast, and they were, you know, over a period of a year, we're talking a good few thousand pounds. And yet, if you live on the island and you want to go to places like Southampton, it costs you money to get on the ferry. If you want to go on holiday, your holiday's more expensive. And some people will say, well, you choose to live on the island. Yes, we do. But then we could move somewhere else if we really wanted to. All we want is fairness. That's what we want, fairness. And it's nothing else. Not a begging bowl mentality. You want some kind of fairness. I would imagine if you're in a shop, and it would be unfair of me to name a company, but I bet if that same company was based in Southend or Southampton or Portsmouth, their salaries are higher than they would be on the Isle of Wight. Now, that is wrong. That's not fair. That doesn't seem fair at all. But it just seems to me we've got an awful lot of unemployment. What are we going to do to address that? I think we've had the unemployment situation for a long, long time, and it's getting worse and worse. We've got some, like you said, we've got some magical companies that are doing wonders. But if you go back to the 1980s, we had so many more companies that were taking on proper apprenticeships and so on and so forth. And, you know, we must have been flourishing. Things have changed probably since probably the late 1980s. When I was at work, I was a boat builder. When I first worked, I was a boat builder. And if you got made redundant there because they had contracts, you went down the road and you got a job somewhere else. That was only 30 years ago.
True.
It's changed dramatically in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad. It really is. But it's only when you get off the island. I don't leave very often because I always think I'm going to die on the train or the boat's going to sink or whatever. So I don't go. But when I do go, I think, my goodness me, it opens your eyes. Wow. It's got the wow effect, and it really has. And again, it comes down, I think, my own personal view is there's so much more necessity on the island for different things. There's not a massive amount of money to go around. You know, just say, for instance, if I'm shopping, food first. The basics first, the necessities, then anything else, yeah, okay, that's a bonus. I'm not saying that there are people on the island that don't ever, you know, that's it, that's all they have is necessity, because there is some money here for sure, but it's just different and we are penalised.
I think the answer, you know, there are numerous answers I can give to that. If you look at the gross valid attitude, that's the amount of money a person earns. We're in the bottom five in the whole of the country.
Mm.
It's only places like Blackpool, Wirral, Torbay. We really are in the pits. Now, in terms of our shops, I will stand up for them because I think it's only right. They provide a service. You can operate, I openly admit, without tourism, my business wouldn't succeed. And that applies to a lot of our small companies.
Mm.
Now, to be fair to this government and the previous government, we have business rate relief up to a certain rental value. At the moment, we do not pay a penny in business rates. And that's been going on now for some years. Without that, the government realises that the small SMEs just wouldn't exist. They allowed all the... You know, they all complain about the death of the high streets. They built Porteous in, etc., for what she was worth. I've got a lot of time for her, quite frankly.
I'm with you on that as
yeah.
well.
I think the real key to this was successive governments allowed out-of-town developments to take place, not realising the consequences that would duly have on your towns. Now, if you remember, in a former life on the council, I was responsible for the economy, tourism, etc. And one of my biggest arguments I used to have with my colleagues was, if you centre everything into Newport, how can I make the satellite towns financially viable?
Yeah.
And it's the visitor experience I'm concerned about here. You know, closing toilets and things like that. It's a catch-22 situation. Yes, the Honourite Council's putting money into tourism. We've now seen that David Thornton says we need to raise more. He's now saying about the, you know, businesses contributing. I asked them to do that over 2 years ago because I do not pay a penny and so do a lot of others, and I benefit from tourism and I want to pay my fair share. And that should have been done. My whole argument is the money that the Isle of Wight Council is currently putting in, yeah?
Yeah.
Could then be utilised to keep your parks open, to keep your toilets open, etc.
Absolutely.
And let me pick my share of the bill up, which I think is only right. I know I'm going to be in trouble for that with a number of people, well, no, but it's up to them.
That's honesty.
Common sense,
and
isn't it?
It's common sense, but it's honesty. And it's someone saying, hey, hang on a minute, I'm taking responsibility here. And that's something that I think we fail, not just locally, but in this country, to take responsibility for our own. You know, it's your shop, you want to do well, you might have to dip your hand in your pocket. Mm. You know, I think it's big of you. I don't think there's enough of shopkeepers that are going to do that, possibly because they might be struggling, you know, because let's be honest, you look down that high street, I'm just looking down Newport High Street, in my head now I'm going down and thinking, right, Burton's have gone, Dorothy Perkins have just gone, there's another place that's just gone, there's an empty post office there, we've got a couple of pound shops, I'm not knocking pound shops because I've said already, thank God for pound shops, because there's people out there that are really poor, poorer than us, poorer than we'd ever understand, and they are, you know, they are places where people need to go and get something. But then you come to the other side of the town and you think, my God, goodness me, there's so many places that are just emptying. And when I say, I've got no time for that porter's woman, I say, look, it's all very well you going and making a TV programme in some area that's posh, in some area that's wealthy and affluent. Come down to the Isle of Wight and see if you can work your magic there. And if you can't work your magic, go and crawl back under the rock that you came from, because you're a pointless exercise. You really are.
Well, in that instance, to support her, Ventnor Business Association put in, and they actually got £10,000 towards upgrading the town, etc. So it wasn't all negative, but I feel that her thinking is out of sync with reality.
Yeah,
that's where I'm coming from.
She kind of missed.
And if you go to Salford, or no disrespect to Salford, if you go to the depressed areas, I can remember we were invited up to Manchester when they were doing all the new stores. And there they were, massive. And the whole key to it was, it was like an anchor. They wanted Marks and Spencer's one end and Tesco's the other, and then infill with the rest. We broke away from the main party and walked no more than half a mile, and theirs was shop after shop after shop, all boarded up.
Mm.
That's the price you pay.
How sad. And just to point out, just to even things up, there are shops that are boarded up over there in Southampton High Street as well.
Yeah.
You know, but going into West Keys, it's a different world. And my wife said, do you reckon something like this would work on the island? And I said, sadly, I don't think that would be. It would. It would be wonderful. People would love it. But I don't think there's the money to go around. It's more expensive, obviously. You've got, unfortunately, you've got a better class of shop. And there's so many different things. I mean, you know, you're probably the same, Ali. When you were buying, you know, when you were younger and you were buying clothes to go out and impress, I'm not saying you get to 50 and you stop impressing people, but you would think, I'll go over to the mainland and get a few togs because it'll look a bit different, you know.
I probably would now, but when I was 15, 16, 17 and first into clothes, you'd shop around the Isle of Wight because you had some fantastic clothes shop.
Having said that, yes, you're probably right. But most people think, oh, go over, because it's the same old, same old over here. And I'm saying, I'm not knocking it, because, you know, I shop at, what's that, Peacocks? I go in there quite a lot. I think it's cheap, it's half decent. Hey, I don't look too bad in it. You know, if people started taking the mickey out of the way I started dressing, I might think differently. But I'm not a, when it comes down to it, not a snob. When it, I don't mind going to Peacocks. If that's what we've got here, and it's, there's a reason why it's Peacocks.
Yeah, I think there's one thing you're missing, Ian. That being in Ireland, you talk about Southampton, you talk about Portsmouth. They can attract people from adjoining counties.
Sure.
All we attract is fish, and they don't spend money.
And they don't wear clothes.
Hey, look, someone's trying to get through. Do you want to take a call?
Yeah, with pleasure.
Okay. Hi, who's this?
Good afternoon.
Ah, do you know what? I'm glad you phoned.
Do you know what, Ian? I think you've got it completely wrong today, and I want to sort of pick you up on one or two of your points, if you don't mind.
I don't mind, but be factual.
I'll be factual, all right. Now, you're sort of saying you want the what they've got in Southampton on the island. You've got to bear in mind that the population of the island is about, what, 140,000 doubles in the summer.
Sure.
Southampton has got a catchment of many millions.
Yeah.
That's people going into those shops to spend their money. So you're absolutely right. Such a shopping centre wouldn't work on the island because there just isn't enough people to go in there to buy the products and keep it open. And besides, why on earth do we want to emulate a city? This isn't a city, is it? It's much better than a city.
No, absolutely.
What we need is the small individual shops. So we should be moving heaven and earth to try and revive our high streets with small individual shops, which would, if they were to be revived and the high streets were to come back to life again, that would be an enormous attractant to tourists. It's the best possible way to revive the island, which is our number one industry is tourism. That means you need to get the people back over. So you need to fix up broken high streets like Sandown, for instance, and
Newport.
Bring the place back to life, but not with huge corporate mega stores, but with small individual shops.
One of the problems there is that I totally endorse 95% of what you've just said, is finding the specialist shop. You put your thinking cap on and think of a product no one else is selling. It's extremely difficult. I've carved a niche because I've got into die-cast models, Dinky and Corgi and things like that. We're attracting people from all over the world.
And your shop, Harry, has been established for quite a few years, hasn't it?
It's a wonderful shop.
Ten years.
And you're bringing the people in. Well, and if you can do it, why can't others? I mean, I also sort of, although mine isn't a shop, it's a workshop,
mm-hmm.
but I'm doing something individual and fairly unique, certainly
sure.
unique to the island.
Sure.
And, you know, that is working quite well.
Good for you. And I'm glad it's working. But just to say that there was, and this is probably this probably highlights the problem that we've had on the Isle of Wight, especially in Newport, probably in other towns as well. You've got people like yourself, Pete, hard-working, good at what you do, damn good at what you do. You had another chap, Roger Sanders, Sanders Sports. Wonderful chap, community guy. He had a great shop where he was, right opposite the council, keeping an eye on him. And his rates were colossal.
Yeah.
And they put the rates up and they kept putting the rent up, and all of a sudden he said, do you know what, I can go and do all of this from my garage and do it online.
And that's
what he's done.
Well, also, Roger found himself all of a sudden being expected to compete with corporate giants, didn't he?
Exactly.
A couple of them suddenly turned up and started undercutting him.
So you're never ever going to be in a position where you can say to people like Roger, hey, look, you're only going to pay X amount of rates. This is what should have happened. We need to look after the local peeps. But obviously, it's too expensive to be your ordinary Joe shopkeeper in the high street now. Unfortunately, there's an element of you have to be a bigger company.
If we could get on top of the rates problem and also the parking problem, because this this current council, in its infinite wisdom, have adopted a new, completely bonkers parking policy, ending up with people not parking their cars and probably going to Southampton to do their shopping.
I don't think it's quite as bad as that, but certainly it's not helped. But you'll notice that Ventnor Town Council are in the process of taking four car parks over now.
Good.
And
I hope it happens everywhere.
Well, I think it will snowball, given time. But the important thing is, there are two things Ian has made very clear, and he's 100% correct. One is the rental value of the properties and the business rates that are associated with that because of that rental value. Now, you have to bring a word of caution in here. When a person takes that shop on, they know what that rent is, and they obviously have done their business plan and feel that they can make a living there. Sadly, that's not the case now, even for the multiples. The business rates are, as you know, set by government, not by the local authority. We have very little influence over that. One of the things the government is saying to you, well, get growth and you can keep some of that money. That's extremely difficult for us to achieve. We've got three area action plans, which I'm watching very closely: Medina, the Bay Area and Ryde. That needs investment. Certainly, if you look at Sandown now, no disrespect, it is a shambles, and it should never have got to that state. But again, the kind of funding which I, if you were listening earlier, we're getting the minimum amount of money to support would-be investors, whilst over in Portsmouth and Southampton, the opposite's the case. And yeah, so that is why I'm fighting.
That's an important issue to address.
Thank you.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that, Harry. A couple of other quick points to make, and then I'll sort of get off your case.
No, you're all right, you're fine.
Well, you know, Ian was saying that, you know, and you just said that Sandown in particular is in a pretty poor condition, which is absolutely true. But I've got to tell you, I went to retrieve my daughter. She'd been at university at Chatham in Kent. And I went and retrieved her from Chatham over the weekend and brought her home.
Right.
She's got a job to go to on the island.
Sure.
I've got to say, I've never seen a more depressing and broken town in my life than Chatham. The place is absolutely broken. And,
well,
you know, we haven't got anything on the island that's anything like that.
It may surprise you.
It's not all bad.
No, it may surprise you. You look at Chatham, and in actual fact, they are better off than the Isle of Wight people.
You'd never believe it.
No. Looks can be deceptive. And I agree with you. Chatham's never recovered from the closure of the naval dockyards and things like that. It's a bit like up north where they closed all the major industries down and didn't have a plan B of what they were going to put. Okay, the north is being regenerated now, slowly. Should have been done many years ago.
Yeah, but Harry, they can't regenerate with shopping centres, isn't it, and the likes. It's not being regenerated with, like, creative industries.
Well, unfortunately, our manufacturing base now, if you'd care to check your statistics, you'll find that 60 to 70% of our gross national product comes from services and not from manufacturing.
Yes, I know.
I think that says it all.
Yeah, it does say it all.
Thank you.
And a final point, and then I'll clear off, pound shops, Ian. They're a sign of social and commercial decay. They're not something that we should be sort of particularly pleased about. I certainly not.
Yeah, well, maybe you don't have to use them, Pete, because there's an awful lot of people out there that don't have the pennies that you and me may have, so they have to use those pound shops.
I accept that, but what I'm saying is that they are an outward sign of a high streets that are dying.
Would you say that about Aldi and Lidl's as well, then?
Without
Aldi, without Lidl, without pound shops, you'd have a lot more starvation on the island, which would be really, really, really sad.
Yeah, well, is it a good thing then to have, like, food banks in premises?
Well,
you know, yes, it's good to feed people, but they are a very obvious sign of a society in decay.
I think the thing is, if you look at national statistics, if you look at the number of families allegedly on the poverty line or below the poverty line, runs into thousands. It's not really been reduced during the period of this government, or indeed the government before it. And a lot of that is down to people, benefit dependability, you might say, which is which had to be tackled. We just couldn't afford to be paying the kind of money out that we've been doing. But then by the same token, in a small way on the island, you give credit here to our right council and others, they've run a very successful apprenticeship scheme. But the point is the wages are slave labour.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, it's not contributing.
Yeah, and those wages are not first world wages.
No, what I'm trying to say is...
Nor are 0 hours contracts, nor is the minimum wage,
but that,
which then has to be topped up with the tax credits money, etc.
Well, this is the point I'm making. You see that the government are claiming we've got more people in work now than at any time since records began, which is true.
Technically it's true, but look at the quality of the jobs.
But the money that it's producing isn't giving the revenue to the Chancellor to give him any room to manoeuvre.
Hence all the cuts
we're getting.
It's costing the country.
Very much so.
Because there are far too many people, through no fault of their own, having to claim tax credits.
I couldn't agree more with you, and I think we've concurred on most points today.
You know, simple basic fact is, when commenting on the matter of industry and commerce, as I always say, just look at the German model, because they know how to do it right. And what we've got is a bunch of politicians in charge who would rather hide their heads in the sand and claim everything's hunky-dory when it plainly isn't.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there, but don't make the German model too great, because they're in decline at the moment
as
well.
Well, it's a damn sight healthier than our model, isn't it, Harry?
It is, but look at the consequences they're having to deal with at the moment.
what bankroll in most of Europe?
Yes, indeed.
Which is the marketplace for their goods.
Exactly. You've got me in one.
Thanks, you're cool, Pete.
Bye.
Bye, Pete.
Bye. We'll take a quick break there and we'll come back in 2 ticks with more.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Having a problem with your phones? Need your sound system sorted out? Call West White Audio for expert friendly advice. Whatever your problem, just ask Kelvin on 0800 118 2484, email info@westwhiteaudio.co.uk, or follow the link on the Vectis Radio homepage.
Does your garden need attention? Why not call LCL, Lee Cook Landscaping, to put it right? They are specialists in driveways, patios and paths, brickwork and stonework, decking and furniture, fencing, water features, lawns and planting, and garden maintenance. You can find them at www.lclandscaping.webs.com. Interested in our services? Then get in touch with us via the form on our contact page and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Or email lclandscaping37@gmail.com. That's lclandscaping37@gmail.com. Lee Cook Landscaping is a high quality building and landscaping company partnered by D. Rigby Building and Landscaping.
Fretbuzz.net is the place to go for all the latest music reviews, news, photos and more, covering island bands to established acts from across the globe. The guys at Fretbuzz will give you their unique view on the music world. As well as music reviews, Fretbuzz now offer bands and musicians a range of promotional services, from photo shoots, video show reels to advertising and features on the site. It caters for all budgets and requirements. Just call 07576 138 337 today for more information. So whatever you're looking for, visit us at fret-buzz.net for all your music needs, or find us on Facebook by searching Fretbuzz Music Reviews.
The Hair Lounge is a unisex hairdresser's in both Newport and Ryde. With its experienced team of stylists, we pride ourselves in offering great-looking hair at affordable prices. Whether you are looking for expert colouring to precision cutting, The Hair Lounge is the place to be. At The Hair Lounge, we pride ourselves on being a forward-thinking salon which uses the industry's leading brands and techniques to always make sure our clients look and feel their very best. Call them 01983 718584 or visit them at 35 High Street in Newport. The Hair Lounge are also at 9 Cross Street in Ryde, or call 01983 564447. The Hair Lounge is the place to be.
White Fibre, the island's fastest broadband. But don't just take our word for it. Here's James Pickett from Arriton.
Setting up costs was reasonable. The people who came to do it came when they said they would and did what they said they'd do. It's fast and it's a revelation to someone who's had spent 10 years down a one megabit BT line.
Get the island's fastest broadband free for 12 months. Call 240240.
WhiteFibre.com.
24-month contract required. Faster speeds available in all cabled areas.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
It's Tuesday's Lunchtime Social. We've got Ali in. We've also got Lord Rees. Harry Rees is with us. And we've got Jay hanging on the line there. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Ian. How you doing? Hello, Harry. Hello, Ali.
Hi, Jay.
I have to say, Pete was fairly lucid in his points there. I mostly agree with what Pete had to say. I think it is a mistake, an easy one to make, with comparing when you go over to West Keys and Southampton, you know, just the sheer amount of footfall in the catchment area that the, you know, Southampton's got. So I don't think it's a fair comparison to make on the island. But I also want to make a wider point about, and it's not going to sit too happy with a lot of people, especially as the island sees itself and also has depended in the past on tourism. We've got to, you know, we've got to admit to ourselves that we're kind of acknowledging that the economy overall is in decline, and tourism in itself, it's not an economy. It rides, you know, it's a luxury that rides on the back of a healthy economy. And so, therefore, if the primary economy is in decline, therefore, so must the tertiary tourism that comes off that. So I think it's a mistake to keep banging that drum. You know, eventually, it's just trying to get blood out of a stone, and the pensioner pound isn't gonna keep spinning around forever. So I think that the island has to be far more cohesive and joined up. And maybe I advocate having a renaissance in the agricultural department, because that is also a bonded element of the island's history and economic factors. And I think if it can do that, because you mentioned the word, Ian, responsibility, and that's crucial. Because I mean, yes, it's commendable to head for things like assisted area funding and things like that, but essentially all that is continuing to ask for subsidies, and there's no long-term future in that. So I think it would be accountable and responsible for the island to start working on an internal economy. And I mean, yeah, obviously to have a full-on renaissance in agriculture would, you know, there's a lot of dots to join up there. You're talking about, you know, common agricultural policy, maybe some form of land tax at government level, a cohesive forum between farmers, educators, business people. But for me, you know, because if we're relying purely on the stuff as an economy for what goods traded and sold in shops, you're still relying on globalized trade and what the huge conglomerates and corporates are doing. Whereas if we veer more towards the agricultural side of things, you have the means of production here on the island. You know, you've got the land and you've got the sunshine. So I don't know what Harry might think about that.
Well, I'd love to come back on that one, Jay.
Yeah.
The island has benefited from LEADER program, as you probably well aware, in the rural areas. We've met all the targets that was set. And at the moment, that funding is threatened with either none at all or very little.
Yeah.
The problem for the Isle of Wight is it will never be self-sustaining, Jay. It cannot. It's just not physically possible. We actually did a UDI some years ago when the late Lord Ross was alive. He was Prime Minister. And we were skimped within 48 hours, Jay. Now, you're talking a lot of sense there. In terms in the rural area, an awful lot of work is going on. I'm very mindful, if you look at your dairy farming per se, not just on the island, if we paid the proper price for the milk, instead of wanting to get it cheap, that would be a step in the right direction. The same thing with your multiples that are buying from the farmers, etc. The farmers are hitting back, as you know, with their own farm shops and things of this nature. But I've got all the facts and figures. That won't surprise you, Jay. Agriculture has been in decline on the island for a number of years, and I fought tenaciously to have an all-singing, all-purpose incinerator on the island for fallen stock. Any fallen stock now has to be taken off the island at a colossal cost. The farmer that is producing cattle, etc., has to transport that to the nearest market, which again is on the mainland. All ongoing costs. Whereas we have no abattoir on the island.
No.
And I feel that both an abattoir and certainly an all-purpose, all-singing incinerator is essential. Our population's 140,000. That is projected to grow to 172,000. I'm already aware that for years the clinical waste from the hospital has having to be transported to Bournemouth for incineration. And when I last looked at that some years ago, that was costing nearly £100,000 a year. I mean, it just doesn't make sense, Jay.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for handouts. All I'm asking is that we're not playing on a level playing field.
Sure.
If you look at Portsmouth and Southampton, look at the city deal and all the money that is being poured into those areas. Their GVA, their GDPs are 119. We're 69.
Exactly that, which is why they're more inclined to subsidise those areas for as long as it seems like there's a hive of activity in those areas.
You couldn't put it better. And of course, you see, with the closure of the dockyards, etc., and all the rest of it, appointment of a minister. We should have had a minister appointed for the Isle of Wight, but Jay will not even recognise as the island.
No, I understand, Harry. But what I'm saying is, let's look at it a different way. Let's recognise ourselves as an island, and not in the context of
in the national. I'm with you. Yeah,
you know, not in
be self-supporting. That's what you're saying.
Yes, yeah, and more proactive on actually getting things done. Because I mean, I take it you're a worldly man, Harry. So I'm not going to go into too much detail on aspersions and things, but a lot of legislation that's in place isn't necessarily to benefit the economy and the people on the whole. It's to do with control of that economy and who benefits from it. Minorities that benefit.
Yeah,
from
I mean,
it. Okay, let's leave it there.
Yeah, I think quickly, Jay. One of the problems, you're a businessman, not myself. Now, if you're over in Portsmouth and you put in for a grant, you can get up to 60% of your cost defrayed.
Mm.
Over here, you only get 20%.
Sure.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I don't agree with it.
No, well, that is why I'm fighting to bring that level, a level playing field. I don't want state handouts forever. I want the island to have a sustainable economy where it can stand on its own two feet.
But that's the thing, Harry. What are we defining as an economy? Because what we have at the minute, I don't want to get too convoluted about it, but what it actually is basically a set of financial transactions from goods that are produced by major conglomerates from all over the world, and essentially all we're taking part in is the end-of-point sale in, you know, exchanging of those goods. That's not an economy, and you're highly dependent on the external forces to facilitate that.
I think, Jay, if you look at Gruitt's, and now they've just established this R&D, going to build these large blades, etc. Now, that's not mass production, but it's a step in the right direction. It's not going to alleviate the unemployment on the Isle of Wight. And
no,
that is our biggest. That is
laying people off at the same time.
Well, again, as you well know, it's market trends. Hmm. But what I'm saying to you, that we have green shoots, can I use that expression, that need to be developed and to help sustain. We have some wonderful companies on the Isle of Wight, innovative thinking, world leaders, etc., that are not getting the recognition they deserve. And if we can grow those businesses then we are on the same track as what you're saying, Jay, that we become self-sufficient.
Completely agree. Hey, look, Jay, we've got to leave it there. It's 1 o'clock.
Okay, mate.
But thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jay.
Right.
Cheers,
thank
mate.
You.
Hey, look, it's been great to see you. It really has.
And thank you.
You know, you haven't lost any of your fire in your belly at all. You are still as passionate about the Isle of Wight now as you were when you first came in 75. And it's great to see, and long may it continue.
Thank you very much.
As long as we've got people like you in our corner, and you don't look at the colours, you'll team up with anybody. You've teamed up with Andrew Turner and many other people as well because you put the Isle of Wight first. Maybe if there were many more like you, we wouldn't be in the mess that we are.
That's very kind of you, and thank you very much. Thanks, Ali. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Ali.
Thank you.
For coming in.